Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on living in perilous times was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
This is where Paul is preaching at a minister's conference in Acts 20:24. It says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of Christ." And this is done a number of places. You'll find a number of places where the word grace and gospel are used interchangeably. Grace is talking about what God does for us completely separate from our performance, completely divorced from anything that we deserve. Grace has nothing to do with you. Most people define grace as the unmerited, unearned favor of God. And it could be certainly amplified much beyond that. But it's just talking about what God does for us completely separate for us. For instance, by grace, God sent Jesus to this earth before you and I were ever born, before you'd ever done anything right or wrong. God didn't wait until you cried out to Him and then respond to you. God doesn't move in your life based on your cries to Him and your faith moved God. No, God moved by grace and provided salvation and forgave you of your sins before you were ever born, before you ever committed them. The Lord, by grace, has provided everything. Jesus did everything that God ever had to do to get mankind right with Him. And that happened 2,000 years ago, and the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10 that He is now seated at the Father's right hand. He is not working. It's already been done. You've already been reconciled unto God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's already a done deal. Grace has already provided everything. So when the Scripture says that I am not ashamed of the gospel, He's talking about the grace, that it's all through Jesus that these things have happened, because that is the power of God unto salvation. It's talking about understanding that it's not based on our works. We don't earn anything from God, but God by grace loves you, not because you are lovely, but because He is love. God's love for you has zippo to do with your goodness. You know, basically, religion, they would never say it this way, but basically religion is preaching, straighten up, clean up your act, live holy, start going to church, pay your tithes, study the Bible, do this, do this, do this, and then God will accept you and God will move in your life. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. There's many of you think, well, what's wrong with that? That's not the gospel. That is putting God's acceptance of you proportional to how much you deserve it. That is not true. And this is where the church, and again, when I say the church, there's good churches, there's lots of good churches, but there's a large segment of religion today that is not representing God correctly. I'd say that the vast majority of the church today is sitting here preaching wrath and punishment and rejection. And unless you straighten your act up and unless you do this, God won't have anything to do with you. And that's absolutely wrong. That is not the gospel. They have the form of godliness. They call themselves Christians. They meet at church. But they are not accepting the power of the gospel, which is the grace of God. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, there's a large percentage of Christianity that's right there. There's a large percentage. You know, if people came forward for prayer, and if I was to start praying for them, and if God gave me a word of knowledge, and the Lord showed me that, you know what, you haven't been studying the Word, you haven't been praying, you haven't been paying your tithes, you hadn't been going to church. If I would start having a word of knowledge and showing you something that you did wrong, most of you would just cave. Like, oh, I knew I didn't deserve it. Now I know why God's not healing me. I know now why I'm not receiving from God. And we would just immediately say, well, God won't move in my life. I don't deserve it. That's because we haven't heard the gospel. We haven't heard the grace of God. Most people believe that God moves in their life directly proportional to how holy you've lived. And that is not the gospel. That is not the power. And the church as a whole is denying the power of the gospel. They are preaching your own holiness and your own works in exchange for God moving in your life. They are denying the power of the gospel. And I tell you what that does, it puts people into bondage. You can motivate people to a degree with that. If you go to preaching clothesline Christianity, where, you know, it's all about the length of your clothes and you got to dress this way and that way and you got to wear makeup or not wear makeup, and if you wear any gold, God wants... If you go to preaching all of these legalistic rules and stuff, you know what, you can motivate people to do certain things. But the end result is they'll never feel satisfied. Their own conscience will go to convicting them, because the truth is every one of us falls short of these standards. None of us measure up to any of these things. You cannot have a vibrant relationship with God as long as you think that you have to earn it, that you have to deserve it. You know, the vast majority of you in here believe that there is a God or you wouldn't be here. And even more than that, you believe in a supernatural God. You believe in a God who performs miracles. You're fanatical about God, or you wouldn't be here on a Friday morning. You believe that miracles happen. We had our son raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours. He turned black and he was a white boy. He was black. He was in a cooler, stripped naked with a toe tag on. He was dead. God raised him from the dead. Most of you believe that. You don't doubt that God has the power. And if somebody was to fall over dead here today, and if I said, praise God, I've seen people raised from the dead, I'm going to pray for them and we'll see this person raised from the dead. You know, most of you would be right in there with me. You'd be rejoicing. Many of you would get up here, you'd want to see. You don't doubt that God can do it. But you know where I'd lose the vast majority of you is when I say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for them. And then just think about this. As long as I'm the one that's praying for them, as long as I'm saying God can do it, as long as it's those things, man, you're just in there excited. Yes, yes, I believe it. Pray, I'll agree with you. But I put the burden on you and say, you come up here and pray for them. And immediately your faith turns to fear. Your excitement turns to dread. Instead of there being confidence, there's lack of confidence. What just happened? Analyze what happened. You didn't doubt that God can do it. You know what causes the fear? You doubt God's willingness to do it because you don't feel worthy. And people will sit there and take me or pastors here and think, well, you know, you guys can pray for them because you think that we're holy. You just don't know us as well as you know yourself. If you knew us as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any more faith in our prayers than you got in your prayers. Truth is, none of us deserve God doing anything. God's never had anybody qualified working for Him yet. We don't deserve it. But here's what's going on. You know God can do it, but you doubt God's willingness to do it. You know why? Because you haven't heard the gospel. The gospel talks about the grace of God, that it's completely detached from what you deserve. It's what Jesus did for you. Jesus died and forgave our sins and reconciled us unto God and is not imputing men's sins unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 around verse 9, that God was in Christ, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing man's trespasses unto them. The word impute is an accounting term to mean to put to your account. God does not hold trespasses against you. The church as a whole is saying just the opposite, that if you go out here and sin, God won't bless you. You know what that's saying? God is holding sins against you. The church is preaching, live holy if you want God to bless you. The gospel says that God loves you completely independent of your performance. Your performance, your holiness has zippo to do with God loving you or answering your prayer. And somebody might be thinking, so you're just saying that we can go live in sin and everything works? No, because if you go live in sin, it's not God who's not going to answer your prayers. But Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you go out and yield to sin, you aren't submitted to God. You're submitted to the devil. You give Satan place into your life, and Satan is going to come in and eat your lunch and pop the bag. Amen. If you come to Bible college, you'll get to where you can do that with me. I guarantee you, if you open up a door to the devil, Satan is going to destroy you. So it is true that if you are living in sin, you do not prosper like the person who is not living in sin. But people have seen that by observation, and then they just suppose it's because, well, God's not blessing you. No, God's blessing is on you regardless of whether you're living holy or unholy. But if you are living in sin, you are giving Satan a direct inroad into your life. It's like a person trying to run a race, dragging weights behind them. It's not the person who organized the race that's going to make you lose. It's all of those weights you're dragging along. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's not God who's holding you back. It's not God who's making your life miserable. You're the one who's allowed Satan to come in. So as much as you can, quit living in sin, because it gives Satan a direct inroad into your life. And when you do sin, because you're human and you fall short, and sometimes you get ticked off and lose your temper and you make mistakes. When you do sin, be quick to repent of it and turn from it so that you can keep Satan from having any dominance in your life. But don't ever think that God loves you proportional to your performance.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to live through perilous times. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM232 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
This is Andrew Womack, and I want to invite you to join me on March the 12th through the 14th. That's a Thursday through Saturday in Colorado Springs, and we're going to be holding our Charis Bible College weekend. It starts on Thursday morning, and so Thursday and Friday mornings, you're going to actually sit in on our regular CBC classes. We have a lunch with the faculty. We have a soup supper, some great times of fellowship. Then we're going to have evening meetings where I'll be ministering the Word of God and just challenging you about believing God and taking that next step. On Saturday morning, March the 14th, we're going to have a breakfast together, and I'll be teaching once again. So this is Thursday through Saturday noon, March the 12th through the 14th, right here at our Charis Bible College in Colorado Springs.